Hello and welcome back to Two for the Tackles. My name is Rahul, and with me, as always, is Sachin. Sachin, it's been a while since we last did an episode, and there has been a shit ton of things that's happened. Obviously, we're on a small break from the Premier League, at least. No football this weekend because of Queen's circumstances. Let's leave it as that. At that, but. Yeah, I know there's so much to talk about, sorry. And there is one hot topic. Unfortunately, it's Chelsea driven. What are your thoughts on what's happened over the last couple of weeks or so?
Yeah, so like you said, I think it's the perfect time to sort of do a pod because we have that sort of break and we have a lot to cover and we haven't done one in a while. Yeah, so to get into it, I would, as you, it's been a difficult time for a Chelsea fan like you. So I want to start off by asking with Todd Boehly coming in as a manager, how would you have to, if you had to summarize the way the transfer business has gone down this season, with sort of Tuchel being in sort of a director of football slash coach sort of a role, how would you sum it up?
I don't know, man. I personally, as a fan, I'm very disappointed. Not only with what has happened over the last couple of weeks with Tuchel and the firing and getting a new manager on board, but starting off from the transfers right from the get-go, right? I was never too confident in any of the transfers. Even players like Raheem Sterling, who a lot of people might consider a fantastic signing. I think we desperately needed signings in different positions, more importantly than Raheem Sterling. I was never too convinced with Koulibaly as well. I just don't think he has it in him to succeed in the Premier League. And those were our biggest signings, unfortunately. Yes, we did make a few other signings. I think the only signing that I can confidently say that I'm decently happy with is somebody who's not even played yet. I think Zakaria is a decent signing. I'm looking forward to see him play, but I'm just not convinced. I don't know whether it's a PR move. It's something just to, get famous players under, playing for Chelsea. I'm just not 100% convinced in the transfer activity or the fact that, Todd Boehly is taken over as director of football, if you like, and I don't think he has the means or the knowledge to successfully do it yet. I don't think he has that footballing knowledge, which is important. And overall, look, I'm grateful for what they've done when Chelsea were in a bad state. We had quite a few bidders to take over the club, and at that time, I think majority, if not the entire Chelsea fan base, were pretty confident that Todd Boehly was the right man. But then, coming in and firing the likes of, or firing or letting go the likes of, Petr Cech and Marino, who had done a fantastic job over the last few years. I think that was a mistake. And then, because he had to take it all over himself, he didn't have a replacement lined up to replace either of them. And I think they struggled. The whole shit show with Barcelona and, the whole, I don't know, the transfer market was a complete roller coaster. But I think there were way too many mistakes made during that time. And, then to top it off, firing Tuchel after, yes, a rough start. I think Chelsea have been horrifically pathetic this season. I think barring the Spurs game, I don't see any fight in any players, in any of the matches. And to see some of the matches that we lost against Leeds, Southampton, it's I told you, I spoke to you, I told you, I think I know what United fans went through. I think personally this is way worse because yeah, that's just my feeling, and it's been a very fucked up season for me as a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think I've got quite a lot of experience watching sort of United with this transfer dealing. So when I see it happen to another club, I'm like, yeah, this is something what United do. So from the outside looking in, it felt like it was a mismatch. Boehly didn't really have, I mean, it looked like anyone who was like on the market, he would just go for it. So there wasn't really like a detailed plan. And with Tuchel sort of thrown into that role, which I think some manager would relish it. Like, because then it, like, a manager has a lot of input than the kind of player they're buying. But I do think that managers just want to concentrate more on the pitch. Yes, the odd of the kind of instructions or knowledge they would require from a coach is fine, which is, I think, done at every club. But I think Tuchel was given a more sort of a detailed sort of a job, which is, you know, tasking a lot on him with the coaching plus the sort of recruitment fallen to his lap. As Boehly, when he took over the club, I felt it would have been better if he had to just leave the existing structure, at least for this window.
And for a while, at least, right? That's what I thought as well.
Yeah, so if he had the existing, like the structure, this window, like you pointed out, so it would have smoothened the transition a little better because this window would have then been wrapped up. And then maybe from summer to Jan, maybe then he could have fired or whatever he wanted to do. So that gives him enough 6 to 8 months to sort of, you know, get in a director of football and, you know, stuff like that. What has happened here is he's tried to play football manager. Like, I think a lot of... Yeah. I think Chelsea fan... the Chelsea fan base would also sort of agree that... I'm not sure whether whatever the squad needed has been, you know, sort of...
addressed.
Identified and addressed. It's just been a mismatch. So I think I would agree to what most of the points you've said. Now, I think going on to the second sort of my question is, I don't think anyone in world football sort of saw it coming. I've read somewhere that Chelsea fans weren't really happy with Chelsea performances since April. So it's been like up and down. But Rahul, what did you really see Tuchel being sacked and then now... Potter's already been appointed as a new manager. So, how do you say? Like, is it an upgrade? Is it a downgrade? What do you have to think about the Tuchel sacking, the Potter appointment? Just wanted to have your thoughts on it.
So, I think I'll start off with what happened to Tuchel, right? I was completely heartbroken. And I was in a similar position with Lampard when he got the sack. But I saw that coming. I definitely saw that coming. I think the whole Chelsea fan base, if not the whole of the footballing world, saw it coming. We knew Lampard was going to go. We were disappointed he went, but you know, it wasn't a shock at all. With Tuchel, I think with what he's done over the last year, yes, performances haven't been good enough since April, as you mentioned. I think attacking-wise, we have not been productive at all, if I can say that. I think this whole year even, we've struggled for goals, we've struggled to find attacking form. Defensively, we've been solid. And, the start of the season has been a defensive shit show completely. I think defensively, we have struggled with Rudiger, especially leaving. I think we've lost a large part of what that, you know, steady defense was last season. So while those performances weren't great, tactically, I think Tuchel also got it wrong a few times. It wasn't completely, you know, on the players. I think we went up against teams like Leeds and Southampton without a clear plan in mind. And we struggled over there, but I didn't see him getting fired. Not now, at least. I think if performances had to continue, he probably would have gotten the sack in a month or two is what I was thinking, you know, around maybe October, November, December time, usually around half season done. I did not expect that. Yes, the loss to Dinamo Zagreb was pathetic, but I did not see that coming at all. And then, you know, when it comes to, you know, Graham Potter,
I think like there have been some signs where, you know, you could see when the summer window started that you know, the Chelsea attacking players all wanted to sort of leave. So that's a good indication that, like, according to what, like, in tandem to what you've been saying, like, the attack has not really been really great for Chelsea from since about a year. Because you've seen players like Pulisic not being happy. Then Ziyech wanted to leave. Werner already left. Lukaku has already been gone as well. So that's almost like 80% of your attack. So that I think even from outside, when you see Chelsea, I mean, so like defensively, they were fine. I think Tuchel was trying to solve some problems. But I think it wasn't really, like, they weren't really looking good on all sorts of areas. Like you said, like, defensively, they were good. But attacking-wise, they were not really looking that great. Now I'd like to ask you, like, on the same sort of a trajectory that we were talking about, like, he's also got Aubameyang, especially. Todd Bowley specifically got Aubameyang for Tuchel. And that seems to be, like, a bit of a joke and sort of, like, a bizarre transfer that you get in, like, the striker he wants. And then you sort of fire him. And also, I've heard that the disagreement on the owner and the Tuchel regarding Ronaldo also played a part, where the Todd Bowley really wanted Ronaldo in, but Tuchel was pretty clear that he would have a massive impact on the dressing room as well. The way, you know, Ronaldo is, he's not in his prime anymore. He's 37. He's aging, sort of a goat, if you have to say. So, what do you have to say about these things?
I'm just extremely happy that, you know, Tuchel finally managed to get a word in and say no to Ronaldo. I think that would have been a complete horror show if he had to get Ronaldo. No, you know, obviously, I'm not trying to say that Ronaldo is a bad player anyway. I think he's still, you know, up there with the very best. I just don't think he fits into a modern club at the moment. Because of how he plays, and, you know, it kind of revolves all around him. And fair enough, you know, it might have worked at a lot of different clubs and might still work at a lot of different clubs. But, you know, I don't think he's even going to be a first-choice starter for United this season. And, you know, when you're paying that much of money for Ronaldo, I think it wouldn't have been worth it. And also, I think it was more of a PR stunt than anything. Shirt sales and all of that, you know, nonsense.
Sort of like a statement signing? Sort of like a statement signing that...
I wouldn't even say a statement signing. I think a statement signing would have been, you know, what Haaland is to City. That is a fucking statement signing, right? For Ronaldo, it's more than PR, you know, like, oh, wow, you know, you get all the American fans who know nothing about football to kind and join the bandwagon and say, okay, yes, I'm a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, but it looked like from his perspective, it looked like he wanted to deliver Ronaldo in terms of a statement signing.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, you know, if you have to ask a football fan who you're going to sign, 99% of them are going to say either Messi or Ronaldo. And that's, you know, in all honesty, in today's day in football, it's not the right transfer for anybody. And I just think he was out of his depths in the way he was thinking. So, yeah, I'm happy that Ronaldo didn't come. But, you know, I also completely agree that that could have been one of the major factors that kind of put Tuchel against Bowley. But I know there have been rumors about a lot of other issues as well. You know, firing Cech and Marina. Yeah, it's been constant, apparently, since day one.
Yeah, I've heard that there have been too much input in way. I mean, I'm not sure if it's true, but I think Todd Bowley wanted a particular formation for Tuchel to play and stuff like that. So it's bizarre.
That's ridiculous. And you could see that if you've watched Chelsea matches, see us shifting to a back four, back five, back three continuously. And then every time we were struggling, Tuchel would move back to a back three. So you know that, you know,
right? Okay.
Is he really trying to play a back four? Is he really trying to play a back three? There was no coherence in the way Chelsea were playing, and I think that kind of stems down from what the owner wanted, maybe, and what Tuchel wanted, and
a bit of, you know, too much of interference is, I think, an owner just needs to be an owner and not try to be like a coach. And I think that's a problem for any coach, and especially a top coach.
Correct. I completely agree with you. And, you know, we all know what Abramovich did for Chelsea. You know, obviously hiring, firing managers was part of the way he managed things. But he never went down to the coaches and saying, you know, this is what you should be doing.
Yeah, this is sort of different. Right. This is like a wannabe yeah. Roman.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the reasons why we love Abramovich. He's like, you know, I right. trust the manager. Right. If things aren't working, yes, you know, fuck off. But I'll give you the benefit of the doubt saying that this is your team. Build it the way you want it. And it just didn't seem the case this season. It was such a bizarre transfer window. There were positives in the sense that a lot of the dead weight at Chelsea, Deadwood has been removed. We signed a lot of promising youngsters who not like you know, not going to immediately impact the team, but you know, one for the future. And from what I've heard, you know, Boehly is trying to do what Arsenal did, and Arsenal have done very well over the last few years. They struggled those first 2-3 years.
Yeah, they're showing signs now of real cohesion and sort of that the gap has been bridged in a way where Arteta and the team, it seems like there is a real cohesion. Yeah. So some time.
We all made fun of Arsenal, including myself. I spent, you know, a couple of years just.
Nah, I think it's safe to say you made the most fun.
I probably did. But looking at them today, I think they're fucking impressive. I think they're very impressive.
That's a turnaround has been impressive.
Top four, yeah. Absolutely. So I think that's a model that has evidently worked in a Premier League. And he's done that, yes. But then, you know, the signings of Koulibaly and Aubameyang, who are 30 plus, they don't fit that well. So what's the idea with them? Like, as you mentioned, you know, Aubameyang was clearly by far a Tuchel signing, right? I don't think any manager would have even thought of signing.
No, I really doubt it, yeah, no. Although United did try to tickle a little bit. I don't know why, but I heard there were some initial discussions from United for Aubameyang, but thank God it was not taken further ahead. So,
yeah.
Because you already have someone like Ronaldo, which we want to get rid of, but we couldn't. Okay.
Yeah, and Aubameyang is a proven failure in the Premier League, right? We saw what happened with him in Arsenal.
But in some ways, yes, the age doesn't really, I mean, bode well for a transfer leg. But sometimes I think managers do. I guess there was no other striker available for Tuchel, and then Tuchel must have felt, wait, hold on. Aubameyang and me had a fantastic relationship at Dortmund. Maybe I can unlock something in him. That's what comes to your mind, you know, when Chelsea sort of go for a transfer like that. But yeah, I think we can now. I mean, we've spoken a lot about this, and now it's leading up to the sort of question which I have in my mind, that now that Graham Potter, who's a very is a very good coach, and we've seen what he's done for Brighton year over year, he's improved them very significantly. Amazing style of football. Also gets youth players in, very flexible.
Yeah.
With the kind of, I think Solimach, these players, he's played them across everywhere, on the wing, striker, in the hole. So, these kind of things. So, although I've seen a split in Chelsea fan base where I think it's probably still, they're still mourning about Chelsea's, Tuchel's loss. So, maybe they're not fully accepted Graham Potter yet. Where do you stand on it with Graham Potter's appointment as the Chelsea head coach?
I'll put it this way. You know, while I've said, you know, I'm thoroughly disappointed, extremely disappointed and heartbroken that the way Tuchel was let go and the time in which he was let go, I am also very excited to see what Graham Potter can do for a couple of reasons. Firstly, the style of how he plays. You know, obviously he doesn't waver whether, you know, you're struggling to score goals or struggling attacking-wise. He has a very concrete plan in his mind saying that I'm going to play this kind of football and I'm not going to really change. I'm not going to go back to a back five or, you know, change my full setup to be more defensively inclined. So I'm excited to see that. And the second reason is the news that's coming from Chelsea, the ownership, is that they want to see a whole new era built under or around Graham Potter, which is something that, you know, I've been craving for as a Chelsea fan for years now, to have a stable manager. And we keep getting told this, that, you know, this manager will get his time, this manager will, you know, whatever, get his time to succeed. I really hope so, that they follow through on this and they allow Graham Potter to really, wave his wand, if you'd like a Harry Potter reference there. But I really want to see him, do well, implement his style of football. And they've even gone to the limits of saying that, to the extent of saying, sorry, that if Chelsea don't get top four this season, they will still keep him. I highly doubt that's going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. I don't see that.
That's not going to happen. But I want to see Chelsea flourish as an attacking team. I don't think that's ever happened since Carlo Ancelotti. There's always been defensive-minded coaches who have come through and have solidified us defensively. Conte, Tuchel, Mourinho, since then, who have come in and done a good job. I want to see... I've never, as a Chelsea fan, seen thorough attacking football play since Ancelotti, when we scored like some 100 goals in a season. After that, it's just been way too downhill. And so in that sense, yes, I'm excited. And I know what Graham Potter has achieved for a club like Brighton. It says a lot. He is fantastic. He has a footballing mind. I really hope they are patient with him and he gets, stuff that he wants, players, that he wants in the transfer windows. We've spent shit tons of money and that's my concern, is that what happens to players like, the ones that Tuchel wanted? What happens to a player like Aubameyang? Does he fit into Potter's team or Potter's ideas? What happens to them? I honestly don't know. We have signed maybe like 7-8 defenders, it seems like. If Potter is going to play a back four, what happens to those players?
Yeah.
Right? Thiago Silva kind of is the only player who kind of cements his position in this team. I don't think any other player, apart from maybe Thiago Silva and Reece James, who I can say for sure that they deserve a spot in this starting level. So it's going to be a tough job for Potter, but that's what I think. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do about it.
Yeah, I think that's the initial thought even what I had, because you see that a manager's play director of football got in his players, then he's been sacked. Now Potter has to pick up the slack. It's basically now he'll have to see what kind of players fit into his philosophy. And the only sort of negative I feel what Potter has is the lack of Champions League experience. It's a huge ask for a manager who's got no real experience in Europe. And it's also like a huge step up from Brighton to Chelsea, especially where, he has no real European experience. And I think another negative, what I think you sort of highlighted, was that he doesn't really, take away his philosophy, even if it means that the results are not going his way. So he would only be attack-minded. So does he have that bit of pragmatism, a little bit that... Because I don't think, like, a manager can be the best manager in the world. But if you're not having results, then I think the writing is on the wall. And that Chelsea, no matter what they say, I think, like you say, that they want to build this era around... I don't think he's going to get so much time as Arteta has had at Arsenal. So
I don't think so either.
So that I think he would have to realize at some point that he's not the manager of Brighton anymore. So at Chelsea, even if it means that he has to be a little flexible, like I think Erik ten Hag is a good example, where he, in the first two games, where he saw that, okay, what I want to do is not happening right now. So there is a bit of pragmatism. Yeah. We're not really playing out from the back where they are really like shooting the ball. So stuff like that. So I hope, as a Chelsea fan, I hope you have a better season. As a rival fan, I hope not. Because I think United are right there lingering to take away the scraps. Chelsea is not doing well. Liverpool are not doing that well as well. So I think Arteta and his Arsenal are looking good. Spurs are looking decent. City, I think, is untouchable. So let's see what happens this season. You have an exciting season as every year.
Yeah, so I think depends on what happens with Chelsea over the next few weeks and how they perform. I might either give up on football entirely or just go live in a cave for the next couple of years. But I'm not excited at all for the season. I'm excited to see what Graham Potter does, yes. But as a fan of the club, I am not at all excited, and I already cannot wait for the season to get over. So that's it's a sad feeling as a football fan to feel that way, but it is the truth.
I've been for 10 years, so I can relate.
I think you or United fans in general are the only ones who can understand
I
what
think
they're
there are
going through right now.
quite a few club fans who can. I think Arsenal fans have also. Arteta is doing a good job, but they're not really won anything major. So Liverpool fans were, but right now their tails are up. Now maybe a little down.
But yeah, I'm just not. I'm losing my love to watch a game on a Saturday or a Sunday, and that's not a feeling you want, right? Or you ever want to? You even think you would have. But yeah, as you said, we just have to wait and see how things pan out. Hopefully, we see some amount of success. But it's going to be super tough. But yeah, United are looking good, Sachin. So you have a good season to look forward
So
to.
far,
Ten
so
Hag
good. My fingers are crossed because we're only one game
is.
away from falling apart. Or it's always like that. I think it's every game week shows you a different shade.
I know what you mean, man. But yeah, let's just hope we somehow scrape through, finish top four, and then reboot next season onwards. So yeah, with no football maybe happening this week and next week, it's time to focus on some of the other leagues, Champions League maybe. Get your mind off of what's happening, especially for a Chelsea fan. But
So just
yeah,
you're
I think
basically just reminding that United are not in Champions League. That's quite a bad thing.
That's the only thing I can, the only positive thing I can say as a Chelsea fan right now is that we are in the Champions League and you're not. I'm pretty sure you all will be back soon, man. But in the meantime, I think this is a good way to sign off. It's been a good chat. Nice to take out some frustrations about what's happened over the last couple of months or so. But yeah, we'll be back soon, Sachin. Maybe we talk something completely different to what we just spoke about. I don't want to say Chelsea's name for the next couple of weeks at least. So I need some peace of mind. But yeah, that's all for this episode of Two for the Tackles. Sachin, always a pleasure. We'll be back soon. We need to do more of these more often. And yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We will talk to you again soon. Cheers.